Yesterday, I went with Govinda Maharaj to the village of Kikika Nagala. And you can see quite a few pictures of that on Sherit. Kikika Nagala is, if you go the Prakramarg towards Krishna Balaram tree, but instead of going straight, make a left and follow that road past the school, then there's a hospital. About 5 kilometers, then you get to Kanagla. It's a very poetic sounding name. I tried to look it up in my Braja itineraries. It wasn't there, and I didn't see any temple there, so possibly it's either a newer village or one in which no notable pastime of the Lord had taken place. It was had another name in the past, but one local Thakur Kshatriya had the name Kiki, and so obviously it was named after him, Kikika Nagala. I'm speaking about it because it was such a nice experience, both being in the village and visiting Ramesh, the cowherd man. The village itself is very, very simple by comparison to what Vrindavan town is, has become with its construction and high rises. There's actually on the way to Kikika Nagala, just outside of Shunrak village. That's the first village past past Vrindavan. There's a advertisement, there's a big plot and big advertisement there for constructing the first high-rise in Vrindavan. From the plan, it looked maybe about 15 stories high. They're advertising penthouses. So that's also going on. And what to speak of stores and tourists and so many other things going on in Vrindavan by contrast. And not so far away, Kikika Nagala is the way I remember Vrindavan from 30 years by when we first came here. Govinda Maharaj reminded me that when we first came to Vrindavan, there was only one car in Vrindavan, and that was owned by one of the acharyas of Kankabihari temple. But no one else had a car. Srila Prabhupada later on got a car. It was Krishna Balaram Mandir, went under construction. Now, cars, four-wheel drives, buses, motor rickshaws, everything is there. And many of these people come into Vrindavan to work. But Vrindavan was also like that at one time. The experience I mentioned about Ramesh, the cowherd man, is we walked through the village and then just turned into someone's courtyard, and it turned out that it was a Goshala. They had 18 cows. They were just in the process of milking cows. You can see the pictures of beautiful little calves, bull calves, that were waiting to be able to drink from their mother's milk. And we went in there, and we just sort of stood there, and then immediately the owner, Ramesh, came over, and he greeted us as if we're sort of family members. He immediately brought some chairs for us to sit down on, asked if we wanted some tea. We said no. He then offered us some water. We drank it at our own risk, and after that he brought us some milk. We drank some milk. We just milked the cow right there and just sprayed into the cup, and we drank that. It was very wonderful nectarian milk, and it was such a wonderful experience, such a pleasant experience. Hospitality, being nicely received, and you can see this picture where he's, you know, sitting there in front of me. It was like a family member, and I asked Govind Maharaj. I said, "Are you sure? We don't know him because we know so many people around here." In Vrindavan, so many people know us, whether they're rickshaw wallahs or people who supply us with milk or the construction or flour, who make flower garlands, and florists. We've been around for a long time, so we know a lot of people, what to speak of in the market. I said, no. Don't know. And it just reminded me what a wonderful thing hospitality is, to be really hospitable. What a wonderful atmosphere it generates, and how much it immediately opens the heart to a person when in our temples or farms or homes. People come, of course, in the homes it's much more of a personal thing, and therefore hospitality is still ingrained in that, but in temples so many people come and go, and the tendency may be to take that for granted, not even necessarily greet people so nicely, but this concept which is there in every culture of greeting guests, greeting someone who comes to your door, and greeting them with real love and affection, it will make our guests to our temples really, really open to Krishna consciousness, because they'll be so pleased, they'll accept whatever you have to offer, whatever it is that you have to give to them, because they've been received with so much love, naturally. Tadati, patikadati. They're open to that. That was a really nice experience. And walking through the rest of the village was similarly so. People were simple, hospitable, had some kind words to share Hare Krishna. And although some children were already wandering around with different colored dyes in their hands, ready to play holy. And that's going to be starting here pretty soon in Vrindavan, which means that I probably won't be going for walks. It means either getting all full of color and then spending hours scrubbing yourself down from that, or doing away with clothes that would be irreparably And as we were coming back, Govinda Maharaj was also telling me of another sort of experience. We were talking about simple village people. This wasn't one in India. This was in Uzbekistan. And he told me when he was recently visiting a disciple in Uzbekistan, about 100 kilometers from Afghanistan border. And said they went into this typical housing development that was built during the communist times. And as he arrived there, he was greeted by 100 children of all ages who welcomed him by pouring water ahead of his car and so on. Then he went up to the apartment of his disciple, said it was just a big room, and his disciple welcomed him and sat him down and then some other hospitality, and then asked whether they could have kirtan. And so they did have kirtan, and he called in all of the children, and they chanted for like an hour. So it was very celestial, very beautiful kirtan. And then after that, these mothers of the children, they all came in, and they were ready to feed Maharaj with all kinds of fruits and nuts and other things. But before they started thanking him for being able to chant this Hare Krishna mantra, which they said had really changed their lives. They no longer eat meat, no longer onions or eggs or any of these things. And now these people are Muslims. They're strict Muslims. But still, they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're vegetarians. And on top of that, they say that compel their children to come every day and participate in the kirtan. And for the last few years, that kirtan has been going on a daily basis. And they want their children to be there, to participate. It was such a nice story. It shows the non-sectarian nature of the Maha Mantra. Something that isn't just identified with some particular Hindu religion, but something that's universal, that anyone can do. And when people aren't used or misdirected for some ulterior end, whether it be political or religious, then there won't be a problem with chanting Hare Krishna and being strict Muslims or any other nationality, excuse me, any other religion. And in that way, those people can attain perfection and success in spiritual life, because they're chanting the holy name of the Lord. Their hearts are becoming purified, and ultimately they develop love for Krishna, and in that way they'll be able to attain his lotus feet. So Srila Prabhupada said, simple for the simple. It's when you make things complicated that Krishna consciousness gets lost in politics, religiosity, formality, economic development, and what have you. When you just keep a simple attitude, the simple village lifestyle, and the way that the Brijvasis are simple-minded people, but they know how to love Krishna, and therefore they're considered to be greater than the yogis and the gyanis and the other propounders of different religious philosophies, because it's simple for the simple. Okay, be in touch tomorrow.